Welcome to Manga Cubed, episode 118, your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of October 20th, 2014. I am your host, Derek, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mo.
Orange juice is good for you.
Indeed it is, so early in the morning.
Although I did read or hear that having orange juice in the morning is a good idea, actually also a bad idea, because it's better for at night, I don't know why. But I always have orange juice and milk in the morning. Yes, both of them.
I know that it would be having orange juice is always difficult for me in the mornings just because of, you know, how the citric acid in it always acts up against my, you know.
Yeah, I avoid drinking it if my stomach feels really bad. Really bad.
Indeed. But yeah, so this... Pardon. Yep, so this week we've got some good stuff. We've got to go through some manga. We've got three volumes of One Piece that we read.
Oh man, those volumes were awesome.
Indeed they
and
were.
And infuriating at the same time.
Yeah, this is truth. Very true, but we'll go over those in a little bit. First, we need to go ahead and talk about the...
Japanese comic ranking for the week of 6 through 12.
Yes, yes, that's what we need to talk about. In 10th place, we have The Seven Deadly Sins, Volume 1. Curious?
Nice.
I guess that's to be expected. The, anime has been releasing this past month, so... Yeah, I'm actually not surprised.
That's interesting. When the anime of a manga is released, the manga does a lot better when the anime is not released. I mean, it's pretty much obvious when you see it with Attack on Titan. And the thing with 7 Days Since, I'm thinking that, you know, the fans who are watching the anime are, oh, this is a good anime, and then someone says, hey, there's a manga of it. It's the original one. Why don't you check it out? Okay, then go buy it. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's doing quite as much as, as Attack on Titan was doing, but it looks like a lot of people are watching the anime and thinking, hey, let's go check out the first volume.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Okay. Yeah,
so we have that, and...
Okay, rankings. Mm-hmm. Ninth place. Kyo wa Kaisha Yasunimasu, Volume 7.
Cool. The next one is 8th place. Gintama, Volume 56.
7th place. Nisekoi, Volume 14.
6th place, Chihaya Furu, Volume 26.
5th place, Yawamushi Pedo, Volume 36.
4th place, Bleach, Volume 65.
3rd place, Kuroko no Basuke, Volume 29.
2nd place, Assassination Classroom, Volume 11.
1st place, Haikyuu, Volume 13, and Volleyball Manga.
Indeed. Should read that sometime. Alright. Next one, New York Times Manga Bestseller List for October 5th through 11th. In 10th place, for some reason it says 2nd. I think something got messed up on their...
Again.
Yeah, on their... No, not again. I think something got messed up on their template. But anyway, we have Manga Dogs, Volume 1.
9th place, Soul Eater, Volume 22.
8th place, Maximum Ride, Volume 8.
Wait, didn't I do this ranking?
I don't know, I don't recall doing it.
Hang on, let me check. What's the next one?
Did you screw up?
I didn't screw up, I just...
didn't screw up, you screwed up. No, I didn't, said Derek. I don't have anything to do with this.
Let's see, it came out... No, I didn't screw up, this is the right one.
Okay, told you. Okay. Alright, okay. Next one.
What was the next one again? Rank
7th place.
7th place, Attack on Titan, No Regrets, Volume 1.
6th place, Sword Art Online, Fairy Dance, Volume 1.
Oh, that's why. Okay, I didn't screw up because it's 'cause, 5th place, Attack on Titan, Volume 1, which has been on the list for 70 weeks now, because I remember last time I saw 69, I'll make a 69 joke about that.
Okay, good. 4th place, Fairy Tale, Volume 42.
Refraining myself from doing that, so don't worry. Mm-hmm. 3rd place, Sword Art Online, I'm Crad. I remember that one was 10th place last time.
2nd place, Attack on Titan, Volume 13.
and first place Naruto Volume 67 because the manga is almost over.
Yay! Finally, we can forget about that piece of shit.
What about the movie?
Fuck the movies. The movies are terrible. They're all
but
terrible.
But the movie's directed by the creator.
The creator sucks.
Like your,
this isn't like Strong
like
World
your One
where...
Piece creator. I'm like, hey, don't compare it.
Yeah, this isn't like Strong World where Oda being involved is a good thing. The only hopes the Naruto movies ever had was that Kishimoto was not interested in working on them, but now he is, and they're going to suck just as much as the fucking manga. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, get off your soapbox. Shit.
Manga. Well, okay, what other news do we have?
North American anime manga releases for the week of October 19th through 25th. For the anime releases, we start off with Bayonetta, Bloody Fate for the DVD and Blu-ray.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that anime from it. Then again, Devil May Cry had anime too, and that was okay-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Indeed. See, I'm just pulling this up right now. Let's see. I did not know that Bayonetta had a DVD coming out. Cool. Yeah. Next, we've got Kill la Kill Blu-ray Part 2, DVD Part 2, Blu-ray, DVD Blu-ray 2 Limited Edition with a bonus DVD. Yeesh.
Oh my god, I think your price is actually fine this time. I don't know,
that's pretty crazy, but yeah.
That's still insane. No, it's a DVD Blu-ray Limited Edition with bonus DVD. it's like putting the two of them together.
More like bogus DVD.
Oh, that movie! I remember I saw that movie, and that movie was awesome.
Yes.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Watch it. Anyways, A Letter to Momo DVD and Blu-ray.
Mm.
I don't know why I said DVD and Blu-ray, but whatever.
Yeah, it's A Letter to Momo in DVD and then DVD and Blu-ray. Confusing. And
yeah.
Then next, Sunday Without God, Blu-ray, and then DVD collection.
Interesting. What's this series about?
Mm.
Other than the title, I'm sure, because the title is there, but... Huh. Mm. That's interesting.
Hmm.
It's a supernatural-ish manga. Or anime. Sorry, anime. Don't kill me, people. Anyways, manga releases.
Kill them, people.
Yeah. You can kill me and zombie games all you want. Anyways, manga releases. Anime, Animal Land, Volume 10.
Arpeggio of Blue Steel, Volume 2.
Attack on Titan, The Beginning, collection box set containing Volumes 1 through 4.
Mm. Blackbird, box set containing, Volumes 1 to 18.
Whoa.
Pricey.
Whoa.
One of these days I'll get one of those box sets, but by the time the box sets come out, I've already bought several volumes, and I'm like, you bastards. I'm not going to buy the Bakuman box set. I already have, like, many volumes of this stupid thing. Yeah, but it'd probably be cheaper just to buy the box set than to buy the individual volumes from where I'm standing right now.
Speaking of a stupid thing, again, Volume 33.
Indeed. Haganai, I don't have many friends. Volume 9, because they all like Naruto, those bastards.
Yeah.
Sorry, what? Next one.
Kamen, Volume 2.
Monster, Perfect Edition, Volume 2.
Ooh. Oh my goodness, I think, I don't have the anime anymore. Oh.
Mm.
Yeah. I wish I had it still, I could have seen it. Anyways, No Game, No Life, Volume 1. I heard a lot about that series. People say it's actually pretty good.
Mm. Indeed. And number 6, Volume 9.
That's confusing. Anyways, South Korea, Undying Love, Volume 9.
Next we have Sunny, Volume 4.
Vagabond, Volume 36.
And Witchcraft Works, Volume 1.
Oh, they're finally releasing it.
Interesting. I shall have to examine that.
It's a bit pricey, though.
Indeed. Jeez, why is this... What on earth? This document that I have to write things in is broken.
I don't know why, because if it's open for me, fine. Anyways, other releases.
No, it's something else.
Okay.
I'm gonna make a note to check to, okay, where did it go? Where the fuck?
Okay, I just go to other releases right now. Other releases. Alice in the Country of Diamonds, Bend on My Heart, novel, Volume 1. Bayonetta 2 for the Wii U game. Dance in the Vampire Bun, Secret Chronicles, light novel. Okay, when they say novel, I'm assuming they mean light novels.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasy Life for Nintendo 3DS game. Pokemon Art Academy for Nintendo 3DS system. Princess Mononoke, the first story. What the? That's weird. Okay. Samurai Warriors 4 for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita game. What? They released it just all. And The Sky, The Art of Final Fantasy, Art Book 1, hardcover and in color. Oh, hang on. Yeah, okay, yeah, I know. Okay, now, for a little bit of extra news, just a little bit. Okay, this is interesting. I came across this. Nike's new basketball manga sneaker collab is a total slam dunk. Now, here's the funny thing. When I first read this, I read it as, Nike's new basketball manga sneaker collab is a total scam dunk. I'm like, okay. And it's like, oh, slam dunk, the manga. Whoops. But yeah, so, what it is that it's basically these Air Jordans that feature manga panels on the shoebox, on the side of the shoebox. Now, here's the interesting thing about it, though. It actually, the panels include all new illustrations that continue the main character's story. I'm guessing Sakuragi is the main character.
I see.
So, it's like an interesting epilogue, and you want the epilogue, you have to buy these shoes for it. Or yeah, just go to the shoe store and read it. I mean, they're not, they can't tell you you can't read it. Reading is not, it's not window stealing, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I guess some people want the shoes too.
Yeah, I'm not really interested about the shoes, but that is kind of an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Indeed. Let's see, yeah. And what other news do we have?
These Air Jordans will retail for $250.
Yeah, forget that.
I know. Why in the...
I ain't
quality
crazy.
Shoes for quality people. Yeah. So we're not calling it. And last bit of news. Kodansha Comics will reprint Iwaki's Parasite manga. The reason I bring this is because the anime came out. And I did not realize that the manga series was actually older than the... Oh, it printed from 1990 to 1995.
Yeah, it's a little bit on the old side.
Yep.
Indeed.
So it's going to basically Kodansha's going to reprint it. But republished the manga again from 2011 to 2012. Interesting.
Indeed. All right. Let's see what other news do we have?
Nah, that's it.
That's it? Okay. It's a little sparse in the news section.
Oh, because most of it's just, you know, other stuff, and I just want to pick out the news that's actually interesting.
Right.
Like those two.
Indeed. Alright then, in that case, let's go ahead and move on. We're going to talk about One Piece volumes 49 through 51. And, okay, picking up with One Piece, we've got volume 49, where we find the Straw Hats defeated, but it turns out that, yeah, Luffy, Nami, and Usopp are missing.
Usopp's there. It's Sabo King.
Oh, yeah, so Nami's... So, okay, that's right. So he's, like, wondering... Hey,
remember, Orz has Luffy's shadow, so it thinks, like, Luffy acts like Luffy.
Yeah, pretty much. And then we've got the... And then we've got Nami that wakes up in the middle of her wedding, and yeah, it's really weird and kind of uncomfortable, the scene, just because it's
It was amusing how he said, "No, I don't want to get married. I'm too young to get married." Oh, look at that! She actually admits it.
Yeah, and then you've got Lola that shows up, and she's all, "Oh, Nami, how dare you?" And Nami's like, "Hey, I didn't do this, you know, I was unconscious, I didn't do this on purpose." And then Lola gets the crap beaten out of her because Absalom is not, you know, is not having any of that. And so Nami's tries to fight back, but let's see. It works because, yeah. It turns out that after he fought Sanji, he was already at his limit, so Nami just knocked him right the f*** out.
Well.
Yeah, I just love that. Nami's like, whatever, I win! I must have got him in his weak spot or something. And the grin on her face is just hilarious, even though it's absolutely tiny. And, yeah. And then let's see. We continue the fight. Everyone is, all of the Straw Hats that are there, with the exception of Luffy and Nami, keep fighting oars. And, well, won't get into too much detail, because it's kind of, he's kind of...
They do use tactics.
Yeah, they do use tactics, because they kind of have to, and it's really fun. It's really fun to watch that. Just seeing how they... Yeah, you know, how they all work together like that. You know, it's not that common that we see that. Usually everyone pairs off against someone on their own. But seeing someone so big, you know, that they kind of, you know, they don't have any choice but to work together.
Yep.
And then, let's see, we got Nami who's trying to get her treasure, but it turns out that Perona is already taking the treasure and putting it onto the Thousand Sunny.
How dare she?
Yeah, and then we have this giant person shows up who's asking, is Moria here? Also worth pointing out, there is, there's on the SBS, there's a question is, what would have happened if Khalifa had accidentally eaten the giraffe fruit?
Oh, yeah.
And then it shows that her, yeah, with the long neck, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. That's really weird, but kind of hilarious. But, yeah, back to the actual fight. Nami's chasing down the treasure, and you have a moment with this loud noise, and she turns and looks and sees oars that's been knocked over, and she's got, like, her eyes almost start bugging out, except, you know, not as ridiculously, and this is absolutely fantastic. This arc with all the characters are getting to do things, and they're actually all, you know, all my favorite characters actually having fun moments, which it seems less and less happens less and less in the current manga.
But, they're in the middle of a very dire situation. Both.
Yeah, true. But yeah, and then of course you've got Orz who's, you know, knocked to the ground and he's like, I'm going to pulverize you, and everyone's like, oh, this is bad. And he's like, I'm stuck. My horns are stuck into the ground. And you get the expressions from everyone who are just like, so, stuck are you? And it's like, sucks for you.
You see every panel of each of the Straw Hats is like very darkened, and it's like a grim look, like a very like I'm gonna kill you look.
It's like you don't see their pupils. It's just blank white eyes.
Who's up with the best?
With these like gleams in their eyes. It's just fantastic. And then they start beating up on him, and he manages to break free, and then you've got them, they're like, retreat! And you see everyone with just no-nonsense expressions running away. It's this fight is just hilarious, and... Yeah, so... They continue fighting him, and then we get Kuma that... We find out it's Bartholomew Kuma who confronts Perona and is like, hey...
With all the bear.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, where's Moria? And she tries to fight him, but it does no good. He asks, you know, is like, where would you like to go and on vacation? She's like, oh, on a dark, damp, ancient, and haunted castle. And then she attacks him, and he just touches her, and she disappears. Yep. And, yeah. And then, let's see. And then it's kind of interesting. Kuma asks, hey, is it true that Monkey D. Luffy has an older brother? It's like, yeah, it's like Ace, right? And then it's like, oh. And then, yeah, he just, you know, he ignores Nami, which is good for her. It's kind of important. And then, let's see. Yeah, and then you've got Luffy who'd been chasing Moria, but it turns out he was just chasing his shadow. So where is Moria? And then, Let's see. Continue fighting. There's Zoro gets to be a badass. In fact, everyone gets to be a badass. And then, man, there's just so much happening in this volume. I like to try to be succinct, but it's kind of hard.
Yeah, I tried to do that. Remember, it didn't do so well.
Yep. And then let's see. And then you've got Moria and Kuma are talking to each other, and
that was very funny. Kuma's like, "If you like to go on vacation, where are you going?" Moria's like, "Hey, stop that. That's freaking me out, man."
Yeah, and it's like they're basically talking about, you know, stuff that's happening with the seven warlords and how the government is worried that another warlord will be taken out by Straw Hat. And Moria is kind of pissed because, like, hey, how dare you say that?
You gonna need me babysit or something? Well, yeah.
Yep, and then we find out that somehow Moria is inside Orz's stomach and is controlling him.
Yeah, that's where it confused me. I was like, wait a second, what?
Yeah, that's, okay, how did he get in there?
Yeah, because he was talking to Bartali with Kuma, and suddenly he's in Oz's stomach. Unless, his shadow probably went in there, he switched places shadow.
I guess that would work, maybe, I don't know.
Well, that actually is something that gets shown in their fight against him, because... Mm. From then on, the Straw Hats have to fight against not just Orv, but Moria, controlling Orv.
Indeed.
And right. One of Moria's powers, actually switching his shadow anytime he wants.
Yeah, and then of course, and then we also got a great scene where Orz punches Usopp, but they're like, Usopp, but then it turns out that Brook saved him. He's like, sorry I'm late, I thought you might need lots of salt, so I went and gathered it, and he's carrying this bag, just giant bag of salt. And that was such a cool moment. It's just like, yay, I like this guy, I hope he joins. and there's like, wait, how can you move? It's like, yes, I was severely injured, but I discovered some milk. After having some, I'm all better. And it's like, Usopp is like, calcium ain't that fast acting. And Brook is like, milk can heal broken bones. And Usopp is like, don't lie.
That reminds me of that one milk commercial, that one famous gun milk commercial.
Yep, and then... Yeah, so they continue to fight, and they throw everything that they can at him, and it's... Yeah, let's see, just need to skip forward some more, and... It doesn't do them much good, because, you know, they're a little... Yeah, he's a little... he's just too big for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then... and then you've got Nami finally joins the fight with a Thunderbolt Temple, and yeah, and I love that everyone's like, Sanji's on Nami, and Nami's yelling, stop shouting at me, you're giving away my location. And yeah, so they're getting rid of they're getting Frankie out of the way, but then yeah, it turns out that Orz can stretch, and he punches where Nami was, but, yeah, Robin saved her with her arms.
Yep, Robin, the one that saved her.
Yeah, go Robin! It's like that's her job, is like to save people at the last minute. He's like, I don't know, oh man, can you just imagine how awesome this fight would have been if this had have been Time Skip Robin? She would have taken Orz out all on her own. She's just you giant guy, you want to fight? Okay, giant feet, stomp.
Stop. Like, stop stopping me, it hurts.
It would have been pretty fantastic, but, yep. And then we go and we find Luffy has met these people who's, they're not zombies, but in fact their shadows had been stolen to make the zombies, and so they can't go into the sun because otherwise they will burst into flames. And one of the ones
vampires.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that we meet is Lola the Proposer. She's proposed 4,443 times so far, and she asks Luffy to marry her, and he says no.
Yes.
Which that must make Hancock feel so great. That she is on equal footings as Lola. She also asked Luffy to marry her, and he said no.
Yes.
And indeed. So it's like, I just think that if she knew this, she may very well likely be considering suicide, because she's like, I am the most beautiful woman in the world, and he still said no to me, just like with that other woman.
Who's lovelier than me?
Significantly. But a nicer character.
But here's something about Lola's 4,444 rejection. See, the number 4 is considered like a bad luck number in Japanese and Chinese culture.
Okay.
And also the chapter happens in chapter 400, whatever it was, but it's 400. So that's a lot of fours right there.
Let me check. 476.
But I said a lot of fours, you know.
Yeah.
There's 5 fours now.
Mm.
But then it says, like I said, 4 fours. Look at that.
Yep, so basically, yeah, but anyway, moving on. So they discover that, you know, they found secrets of the shadows. They've captured shadows, and then, you know, they know they can put their shadows inside someone, and it... Yeah, and Luffy is the first person that's able to take someone else's shadow and not go unconscious. And he gains the ability of a swordsman with that shadow. So they're like, we still have a bunch of shadows. Let's, you know, let's see if we can get them all inside you. And so they push all the shadows inside Luffy. And, yeah. And then we go back to the fight. And Moria is wrecking crap with his stretching powers, which... How did he do that? Oh yeah, it's actually explained right after that, because, you know, the shadow doesn't follow the body. The body is forced to follow the shadow, and that's Moria's special ability. So if he stretches out the shadow, the body must follow. And then Orz is getting kind of pissed. He's like, hey, this is my fight. And let's see, yeah, so, yeah, we end up with a really cool scene where it's basically a fastball special where, let's see, yeah, we've got Usopp that puts, it's pretty freaking amazing because Usopp puts Brook inside his giant slingshot, Nami makes a dark cloud temple charged with electricity right in the middle of, right in the middle of his path, and Robin keeps a hand on him with her powers, and they shoot him through it, the lightning. And actually, wait, no, they don't. Oh, yeah, no, she doesn't keep a hold on him. What they do is she... Oh, yeah, okay, that's why. Because I was thinking, wait a minute, he passes through the electricity. Wouldn't that hurt Robin? But no, they shoot Brook. He sticks his sword out in front. Robin pulls her arms away, causing him to spin, and as he's spinning, he goes through the lightning. And so he's charged with lightning, spinning while his has his sword stuck forward, and he goes right through Orz's shoulder. And yeah, things are looking pretty good. And then Robin starts to show the ability that she has later on by combining multiple arms to make bigger ones. She manages to grab Moria, and as she can see him, and she tries to break his. Let's see, she tries to break his neck, but, yeah, he ends up sending his powers out after her, and she has to defend herself, and does still manage to keep a hold of him, and she tries to break it, but, yep, then we see that he can trade places with his shadow, so that explains that. And Robin gets her shadow stolen, and it's, yeah. There's just something really creepy about the way he does that, you know.
Like scissor. With the scissors, it just makes. Does he say it just makes men just shiver?
Yes, indeed. Also, German children that suck their thumbs. But yep, and so.
Okay.
We continue. Ooh, so much fighting. Continues, and then let's see, there's a point. Do we get to that one part? And
but they with Chopper.
Oh, yeah, Chopper. Yeah, he uses his ability.
No, he was talking about how what happened to Orz and how he died, and then he said the reason why Orz died because he wandered a country of ice completely naked. And it's like, I don't want to lose an idiot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so silly.
It was indeed. Okay, and then Yeah, so Orr's basically he's about to stomp on Usopp, but then someone saves him. It's Nightmare Luffy, who looks like a giant freaking Hulk. And he's with all those shadows, he now has all this extra strength, and he just punches Orr's right the frick out and knocks him over. And yeah, it's time for the big fight where Luffy just completely trashes him while everyone else evacuates. And Luffy even uses a giant sword to cut him, uses a Gum Gum Storm, which he blows up his stomach and spins around. Spins around and yeah, does a lot of crazy stuff and punches Orr's all over the place. But then it turns out it was too much for him and he loses all the shadows. But they're like, oh hey, he's defeated Orr's, everyone's shadows will be released. But then, yeah, turns out that Orr's is still standing and there's no way they can, yeah, there's, they still gotta beat him. And so they all stand up for yet another round. This fight is going on freaking forever. And so Luffy uses a giant bazooka, and did he knock him out this time? Yes, no, wait, yes, they did, but Moria's still alive. So
Yep.
Moria steals all the shadows of the zombies and becomes a giant freaking horrifying looking thing. He's got 1,000 shadows in him, so now we're like, oh geez. Geez, Luffy didn't have nearly that many in him, and now, now how can they defeat Moria? And that is the end of that volume. It's, jeez, so much content. All of the content. It went on forever, but
Filler Park really has a lot of content.
It had amazing moments in it, especially in just this fight. I mean, granted, it was, recapping it is a bit much, but all the different things that are happening in the fights are absolutely fantastic. And especially the moment where Luffy shows up as Shadow Luffy or Monster Luffy or whatever it was.
Nightmare Luffy.
Nightmare Luffy, yeah. It was absolutely great. It's like the thing that I really enjoy about this volume is that, or in this fight, I mean in general, but this volume in specific, is that it's so different from anything we'd seen from One Piece before. We'd never seen Luffy get such a weird power up, and yet it worked the way Oda did it. And it's seeing him do so is just really great.
Oh, the power is impermanent, so we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, definitely. Though, yeah, it really is this mo just in general, I really find that it is really quite fantastic. Just just that big fight, and then and just the way the fight moves is that, granted, it takes up a lot of time, but at the same time, it's got all the gravitas that you expect from such a big, from such a big, climactic battle. So, and also one thing worth pointing out is that the volume is thicker than your average volume. Which, although, or then again, or maybe volume 50 is just small, because volume 49 and 51 are like significantly longer than 50 is. But anyway, yeah. So, shall we move on to volume 50? And would you like to do the recap more? I need to go get measured for something quickly. I'll be back in a couple minutes. Do you want to hold down the
All
fort?
right, I'll try to do my best.
Well, yeah. You'll
Okay,
probably still
Jesus.
be in volume 50 by the time I get back, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, all right. So, with volume 50, we start off again. We start off with where we last left off, with the Straw Hats facing against Moria, who, despite absorbing 1,000 shadows, they actually pretty much clarify that he's on his last legs. His consciousness can't hold on to 1,000 shadows for too long anyway. And it's pretty much a battle against him and time, where there where I think was a Luffy said something about, oh, like the battle's already over, and yet they still fight anyway because they're just trying to knock the shadows out of them, because they hit, and even more, take the strong hit, a hit he could easily shrug off if he had done this, at full power. Oh man, he's got full power of 1,000 shadows in him already. He probably would be able to take out Kaido, the one he wanted to, the one he said he lost to at some point. Anyways, I'll get to that later. Yeah, Mori on his last leg, went down to shadows, loses them over time, and then eventually he loses because he just faints at some point. And everyone gets their shadow back. And the awesome thing was that Lola, who, you know, is seen as who's one of the side characters for this pretty much arc, is like actually witnessing the Straw Hats, like just standing there despite her body just burning like most everyone else's was. And believing that, pretty much, you know, she believes that, you know, if she just runs away and hides, then what's the point? I mean, she's already asked for them to get their shadow back, so she's gonna just suffer the way they do anyway. And of course, by believing in them, they get their shadow back. Now, with the battle against Moria over, everyone gets their shadow back, they can see that they can feel the sunlight again. They're all happy and stuff, and, but then, of course, as we all remember, there was another Shichibukai on the island. Bartolomeo Kuma makes his official appearance in front of them all. And, well, actually, not really. He kind of knocks them out. He knocks all of them out. And then, and pretty much everyone was already knocked out. Luffy's already knocked out because he's already suffered so much damage from the previous fight. And Kuma's trying to kill Luffy. But then one person stands up and it's Zoro. And Zoro pretty much, this is Zoro's like most amazing moment. I'm gonna try to explain it as I can, or summarize it as I can. So he pretty much tells Kuma that you know, if you're gonna don't kill Luffy, kill me instead. Pretty much take my head. My head will be worth very much in the future anyway. Even though, and Kuma's pretty much all, well, alright, if you insist. And what he did was he went to Luffy, took all the damage Luffy sustained in the battle against Moria, and Oars, and tries to pull in Zoro. But before he does that, though, I think it's before he even does that, Sanji tries to stop Zoro, and then Zoro's like, hey, butt out, this is my thing. So, so Kuma puts into Zoro, and the funny thing was the way this particular chapter, the part was played out, it felt like Oda was saying to the reader, hey, Zoro might actually die. He might actually die. And then he takes it all in, and then we cut to everyone else waking up, and then we cut to Luffy being, oh, I feel really great. I feel like amazing again. So like, because Kuma took all his pain out and put in the Zoro. And then at the last few pages, we see Zoro just stand there. And they're like, oh, you're covered in lots of blood. And they're like, wait, what happened to the bear guy? Did you leave? And then Zoro's just all, oh, nothing happened. Like, just amazing, to say that one. Okay, so about Kuma's power. He's a paw-paw man. That's how it's seen. As his ability's kind of weird. Because, from what we know so far, he can teleport. He can banish people or something. And from assuming he can teleport them, because he's always been saying, where would you like to go on vacation? And of course, we can assume he probably teleported Perona to her so-called vacation area. But he can also shoot bombs or whatever force. Okay, I might have missed over the part where he was fighting the Straw Hats before he knocked them out, I guess. Okay, so his fruit power is kind of difficult to get a handle on. Basically, what he can do, he can attack, shoot invisible fist bullets of some sort. And Zoro's epic moment where he pretty much, you know, took all Luffy's pain and damage, pretty much injuries, all his injuries he sustained and survived it. When Kuma said that pretty much you could actually die, and Zoro didn't die because he's not gonna die that easily. Okay, so again, we cut off to the Straw Hats waking up again. And we get the little app, we get the aftermath of Thriller Bark. And man, I just gotta say, I love the aftermath of every major arc that happens in One Piece, because it just feels so invigorating, because the battle, we go through all these intense battles and fun moments, and intense battles, of course. And then we finally get back to the fun moments, the whole calm before the storm once more. And then, Nami finally tells Luffy what Kuma told her about Ace, and I forgot how Luffy's reaction was to it. He was probably like, oh, it's okay or something, whatever. Anyways, they relax and such. You know, they relax and party. And then we get to go into Brooks' little flashback, which was very, 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 very touching. Because as we all know, he knew Laboon, and Laboon knew him, but we get to know what happened. What happened to the crew, and what happened was, basically, after they left Laboon, they sailed into the Grand Line, they entered the Florian Triangle, or was it the Florian Triangle, I forget which one, but somehow along the way, sometime during the Florian Triangle, they entered, they were attacked by another crew, I guess, from the looks of it. And this happened 50 years ago, before this current part of the story. And they all pretty much, I'm not sure if they won or lost, but they all got poisoned. Every single one of the crew got poisoned. And they all knew that they were going to die at some point. And they pretty much started to die one by one while playing music. When I saw that, it reminded me of the Titanic part of the film, where those musicians were just playing as the ship was sinking, and I was like, wow, so that's, I'm not saying it was a tribute to that, but it's just, for me, that just made me remember that stuff. Yeah. Oh, look, you're back.
I'm back, yes, so that was during
the book flashback. I'll still on this, because there's a lot. I'm back.
Indeed, yeah.
And I kind of wanted to mention that before Brook became the captain of the Rumbar Pirates, there was another guy who got sick.
Yep.
Captain Yorkie, he got sick, and they had to leave him, because if he stayed long, he would have infected them, like a certain disease going on in a certain part of the world. So no, I've noticed from this Captain Yorkie, since it's been 50 years, he's probably dead now, or probably still alive. Who knows? So Brooks the captain, and they pretty much, the Rubber Pines all die one by one. After a while, playing their music, and then it was just very tragic, which is amazing, because Brook always acted very happy in such a way. And he just, you know, the happiest people are the loneliest people. Let's not forget that little saying or something people come up with.
That is kind of true, yeah. Especially the funny.
Also, while reading that flashback, I was literally playing Bing Sake the whole time. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. Nice. That is good choice.
Yeah, it's still very hard to not cry.
Indeed. My throat. One sec. Okay, then.
Okay.
So, yeah, carry on.
Brooks flashback. What happened was each of the crew died one by one from the poison. It was just amazing how there was like this one page where there's like these three guys just putting the arms on you and just, you know, just dancing, and then the next panel, one of them falls down, and the other two are just still going, you know, they're all bad and injured and poisoned. The other guy falls, and slowly they all just fall one by one by one. And I'm not sure if Brook was the last one. It looks like Brook was the last one to fall. But it's okay, because he ate the Yomi Yomi no Mi, the, I think Yomi means death, doesn't it? Or shadow, whatever it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, dead, whatever. So he gets to live a second life anyway, but, you know, let's just remember this. He was alone for the last 50 years. That's a long time to be already dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after the flashback and after playing Bing Sake for, like, on repeat, solo and the crew singing part, because that's where the crew comes in, And then eventually he, and then this is pretty much, because then Brook's like, he just goes up to Luffy and just asks him, may I join? And Luffy's like, sure, and bam, broke up the sea.
Indeed. Yep.
I can't remember any other Straw Hat crew that actually had that. I mean, I know every Straw Hat crew asked Luffy to join, but usually they join because they want to join, but Brook just straight out, just like, the one just, okay, not straight out, but Luffy, like, straight out asked him the first time, and he did say yes, but then he changed his mind because his shadow was missing. And then this one, he just, bam, asked him straight out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was quite a fun moment. You know, yeah. It's just, he's just sitting there at the piano, he's like, you know, can I join your crew? And Luffy is like, sure thing.
And everybody's like, what?
Yeah. And then they're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, it's great how you're so light. It's because I'm nothing but bones. Yuck, yuck, yuck. It's pretty fantastic. And
yeah, so let me continue with the volume. So, okay, so after Brooks, you know, join it into the crew and such, we get the introduction of, basically Lola. Now he finds out who Lola really is, and Lola's the same Lola because they have the same name anyway, the same warthog, that Sailor. And they make a very special friendship, which is, you know, just sweet, actually. And, of course, Lola gives Nami a little card thing, and if you look at it closely, you recognize it's the same little piece of paper Ace gave Luffy back in Arabasta before his death.
Yep.
And when we learn what that card is, it's called the Beaver card, or Beaver card, or whatever they call it. Lived card or something, right?
Yeah, vivre card. Yeah, it's basically, vivre means to live in French.
Okay, so to live. Vive la France!
Yeah, methinks that Oda likes France. It's just a thought.
Clearly.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You've got that, you've got the guy behind, Attack on Titan, who's obsessed with Germany. You've got Oda, who had a thing for Spain/Mexico, but now apparently has a thing for Germany, except not really because he's getting everything wrong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Google.
Also worth mentioning is that Lola asks Frankie to marry him, but he's like, you're a gem, but I'm afraid I'm just too super.
That's a nice rejection right there.
Frankie, you are the man. You are the ladies' man.
He is the man. The man.
Indeed.
Okay, so yeah, the beaver card, like I said, we learn about what it is. Nami gets one from Lola so they can always keep in touch. And Lola pretty much tells her, oh, you know, if you're Lola, something about her mom. And this is before the big reveal that we, you know, find far later on.
Well, we don't know for certain yet. But
yeah, that's true. We don't
it
know.
Does, sure. Yeah, you tear off a piece and give it to your friends and family. And that's one that will put her in the direction that Mama is in. And of course, the theory is that her mom is Big Mom.
Yeah.
Which we don't know that yet, but chances are that after the current arc is over, we'll find out if that is the case.
I hope so. We should.
Well, that's the most logical direction for the story to go, is that we cut to the Nami and Sanji and the others and find out that, oh, they're not in trouble. It's Big Mom is Lola's, you know, is Lola's mom. And so,
yeah, it would be, I don't know, but I just don't think it would be good if Oda to go and just jump into another fighting arc of some sort. We've been through a lot with this one already.
Yeah, true.
And I'm kind of ready for Dressrosa to end.
Indeed. Yep.
Personally, because I want to see the wrap-up. I really want to see the wrap-up. Yep. Anyways, continue on. So, Luffy pulls out his beaver card, and the weird thing about this one is that it's burning up, and then we realize that Ace's life is vanishing.
Yep, it turns out that his life is on the verge of being snuffed out.
Mm-hmm. The thing about the beaver card is that it can't, it's waterproof. It's completely waterproof. It can't be destroyed or anything. It can only be just burned up when the person is, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, also, let's see. Did you also mention the part where after Nami realizes who Lola is, she gives her a bunch of treasure?
Yeah,
you
already I forgot to mention that. Yeah, she did.
It was hilarious, Luffy and Usopp. I was like, Nami's gone crazy! He's like, she's giving away treasure. And then she gives Luffy one of the bits of treasure, and they're like, what the crap? You're so generous!
yes, that glass armlet.
Yep, and carry on.
Then they leave Thrillabark. They leave Thrillabark, and then we move on to another part of the arc. Another arc.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much they meet. They meet Kami.
Yeah, they beat up this sea rabbit, and it spits out Kami, a mermaid.
So I'm trying to figure out how does she appear again. Oh, right, she got eaten.
Yeah, and then she's like, "Oh, yay!" Is like, "I'll repay you." Is like, you know, "I'll repay. Thank you for saving me. I'll repay you. How about some octopus fritters, which, you know, takoyaki."
Yeah.
And Luffy's like, "My favorite." And she's like, "Really? Then it's 500 berries for one serving." And the starfish is like, "You're selling them?" And she's like, makes a freaky face, and you're like, "Ah, that's terrifying, yo."
Oh yeah, Papa.
Yes, the starfish, and and then of course Luffy asks the all-important question of her. By the way, do you poop? And Sanji's like, "What the heck are you asking her?" And she's all, "Pooping? Yes. Well, I." And Sanji's like, "She doesn't." Yep. And then
how would they even? Oh, whatever.
Yep. And then they, let's see, and they need to go save his, they need to go save her friend, and...
Her friend is, she calls Hachin.
Yep.
And we're like, wait a second, that name sounds familiar, you just remove the N.
We'll get there. I also want to point out the funny bit is, like, where Zoro wakes up, and he's like, "Oh." He's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, hey, we've got this new guest. This is the mermaid, Kami. She's really amazing." And Zoro's like, "Huh, a mermaid." And then he just sees the image of Kokoro. And in one thought power, and there's like, poof. And then just like, fizz. And the other one as she fades away. And he's like, "First time I've seen one." Chopper's like, "You erased it. You just erased your memory."
Zoro was traumatized by it too, so he's like, he has a better than Sanji.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He doesn't show it, but yeah.
I can't get through all the funny moments. It's like there's just way too many funny moments in each volume.
And especially as in what we're getting into, and we've got so we find out that there's this man called Duval that is going after them, and he has the flying fish riders, and they're basically guys that ride giant flying fish like motorcycles. It's quite fantastic.
Flying fish like motorcycles.
Indeed. All right, so what about this volume? It's kind of the in-between volume. The fight is over. More or less over. They just have to beat up Moria, who wasn't very hard at the end. And so, yeah, what do we think of this volume?
I loved it.
I like it, too. I like the in-between ones because they always have the good character moments. One that I always thought was interesting was the bit where Sanji finds out what Zoro did from those two other pirates, and he tells them not to tell anyone. He doesn't want Luffy to feel indebted to Zoro because that's not what Zoro would want. Mm. And as, you know, he tells them, "Don't tell anyone," you have that scene where you see that Robin had been listening in she grew an ear on one of the guy's backs and had been listening, and so now she knows what Zoro did, and yet besides her being all knowing and whatnot, she never does anything with that information, or it never comes up again, which I'm just like, oh.
Well, that kind of almost mirrors the one when Nami was listening on Luffy and Kobe.
A little bit, yeah. Well, I don't know, the thing that I find about that that's interesting is that... You know, it's just that kind of this little thing that Oda put in, but then he didn't do anything, you know, he didn't make it a big deal out of it. It was just kind of a small moment. Robin listened in, and now she knows that what Zoro went through for Luffy, and so, you know, I would have really liked to have seen her, you know, either more, I would have liked to see it expanded on what she thought. Or what her reaction to it was
it'll turn to a romance.
Well, gee, why do you think some people want to see that? No, just kidding.
Exactly.
I'm just curious because it's something that just, you know, it's just one of those fun moments, and granted, it's one of those moments that shippers like to pull out, but, and I'm pretty sure many a many a ship fic has been written in regards to the aftermath of her finding that out, which... Actually, now I'm kind of curious. I'm going to see if I can find any, because...
Hey, we're in the middle of a review right now. We're in the middle of a manga review, okay?
Screw your manga review, and we're two-thirds through it, you fool.
This is your manga review.
Shut up. Technically, it's yours. You went through most of that volume.
Oh, that's just mean. Fine, you're doing 51 yourself.
Yeah, of course I am. Oh, jeez, it's so long. Okay. Do we have anything else to point out, to say about volume 50?
I'm quite sure there's still more, but I don't feel like pointing everything out. It's just too much for me. Hmm. Okay, well, wait. I think there was a little bit of a one where... Nah. That's something else. Sorry. Hmm.
Indeed. And... Yep. All right. Time to move on to volume 51, where on the cover we get to see all the supernovae. Novas. Whatever.
Novas.
Indeed. And let's get into it, and we have, okay, yep, so we've got, we meet Iron Mask Duval, who is, works with kidnapping fishermen to sell them to the auction houses, and we discover that the one that he has kidnapped is Hachi, the octopus fishman and former member of Arlong's Pirates, and he
realizes... Well, way to give it away, Oda.
Yep, and then he realizes that the Straw Hats are coming, and he's like, they can't see that it's me. And so he sprays ink on himself to hide himself, and as they're, they're looking, they're seeing him, and it's like, you're pitch black, you're burned, what happened? You can go, it's fine. And then Zoro's like, how could I forget that voice and that silhouette? What do you think, Nami? And then he's like, something suspicion, and I think I know what. And Luffy's all, what? And then Sanji's like, hey, how's Arlong doing? He's like, Arlong, he and Chu and Kurobe were all caught by the Navy. I'm the only one who escaped. Now I am running the octopus fritter shop of my dreams. And Luffy's like, Arlong? And then Hachi's just like, oh no, I said it! And of course, they're all just like, I knew it was you! And then, so they're, they're kind of thinking, what are we going to do with this? He's a former enemy, and then Luffy's like, before you tell me, are your octopus fritters really that good? And Sanji's like, don't think with your stomach. And then Kimmy's like, you guys are friends with Hachin, and he's like, he's not our friend. And then, Nami's like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that he was your friend, and they're, they're about to turn around, so Kami goes in and, gets captured immediately. And so Nami finally decides, all right, you know what, Hachi is all right, he's actually innocent, and besides, we promised Kami, this part was kind of weird, because you've got... you've got Nami calling, turning to Luffy, and it is her, because Kami's captured, but you get a speech bubble that is kind of on the side, and it could be coming from off the panel, except Nami's mouth is open. For some reason, she calls him Luffy Chin.
What?
Which I'm thinking, that's
supposed to be Kami.
But that's what I was thinking, but it's pointing... It's pointing at Nami, and Nami's mouth is open, so I'm like, is that a typo? Okay. But yeah. And Luffy's like, if you want, we'll save the octopus too, and Luffy's eyes have turned into takoyaki. And, yeah, so...
So I'm like, his eyes have turned strange.
Yeah. So they decide, yep, so they move in to save Kami and Hachi. And, the flying fish riders... attack, and we got a fight. Luffy gets knocked into the water, and then Chopper and Brook went to save him, so Nami and Franky had to go save them. it's pretty hilarious. Like, Nami's just slapping Brook and Luffy. He's like, you idiots! He's like, don't jump! We had to save three guys who can swim!
It's funny how she didn't slap Chopper.
Well, that would have been a little hard to reach.
True, that's true.
pretty hilarious. And then we've got the fight, and you know, it's not really much of a challenge for them, because you know, the guys, you know, they've just fought someone really really powerful, so these guys are kind of easy. But we also get to see Brook fight for the, you know, for real for the first time. And then Luffy crashes into the Iron Mask Duval's hut, and he's like, "It's you!" And it's like, Duval's like, "You saw me, you know me, don't you?" And then we continue the fight, and let's see, it's like, you know, this fight goes on for a lot longer than it probably should have, but then Duval shows up, and, you know, he's yelling about how he hates the Straw Hats, and how he especially hates Sanji, in particular. And then Sanji is like, "Me? He wants to kill me? Sanji, is this guy got a grudge against you?" And he's like, "Maybe when you work back at the restaurant." And he's like, "That's going back a while. Well, I was always ticking people off back then." And then
doesn't help.
Usopp is like, "Time to get killed. You reap what you sow." And then, yeah, and then it's like, "Oh, it wasn't that long ago." And then you've got, yeah, and you've got Luffy, who appears up next to Zoro and is like, "I saw under his mask." And Zoro's like, "Really? Who is he?" And Luffy's like, "I'll show you. Don't be surprised. Okay, you know him too." And then Zoro's like, "I do?" And then Nafi. Hey, I've just invented a new ship name. No, I didn't.
What?
Yeah, Nafi. Yeah, it's the version of the ship where Nami is the dominant partner, because that's how ship names work, right?
No, yeah, just joking.
But yeah, anyway, and then they punch off Duval's iron mask, and everyone reacts like, "No way!" And Sanji just has this look of absolute shock, and Zoro's like, "Him!" And Robin's like, "Oh." And Brooke is like, "I say." And then Frankie is crying, and then it's like, you know, the guy's like, "I've been waiting for this day. I resolved to set out to sea to kill you, but it wasn't easy finding you. The wanted posters have the wrong face. Even if the Navy and the bounty hunters had seen the real guy, they might not have recognized him. Oh, but they would have thought they recognized him." Like, Sanji just jumps into the water, swims over while he's continuing. He's like, "And when they did, they'd say, 'I found him, it's Blackfoot Sanji.' And I would say, 'It's not me, I swear, I don't even know this guy, I ain't even a pirate.'" And it turns out that Duval looks exactly like Sanji's wanted poster.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, "Oh, Oda, you mad genius."
He took something that was stupid and followed up on it.
Yeah, and it's just the way he builds it up, where it's this big dramatic reveal. It turns out that the guy hates Sanji because the idiot that made the wanted poster couldn't draw and made it look exactly like Duval. And Sanji is furious and just beats him up. And then, yeah, and then everyone just starts cracking up. And it's like, you know, Nami is like, "What do you know? The world is a big place." It's like, "Usopp, maybe Sanji was born under a charmed star." And Robin's like, "He's sure to die an interesting death."
I was like, "Oh, Robin, yeah. You didn't have to say it like that."
And you've got Hachi's like, "They look identical." And Zoro's like two peas in a pod. And Brook is just like, "Yo." It's like, "Brook, when this is over, I'm going to flatten you." And Luffy is like, "Well, Sanji, we'll go on ahead." It's like, "You think this is my fault?" And it's like, "If you didn't want to look like the wanted poster, you could have easily changed your hair or grown a beard or something." And the guy's just like, it does that thing where he's just like, this moment of realization, smacks his palm. It's like, "You never thought of that. You guys are complete idiots." And yeah, it was pretty hilarious. So yeah, they continue the fight after that, but by that point it's kind of like, you know, that's unimportant. Kami ends up saving Sanji, who's gotten thrown underwater, and then they dodged this anchor that got dropped on them, thanks to Frankie's sink to the ship, and then they use the Gowon cannon, which completely demolishes the place. And then you've got, and then yeah, we end it with Sanji just beating up on, Duval. That's it. Yeah, beating up on Duval. And got that. And then they can, and then they carry on with their journey. And then it turns out that Duval is happy now because for Sanji, you reshaped his face completely. He is now handsome. It's like, it's me, handsome. No, I mean Duval. Also, I want to say, Toriko, you freaking ripoff.
Yep.
And yeah, and it's like, oh, it's your first time in this part of the sea. If there's anything we can do to help, don't hesitate to wink. Ow! Stop trying to wink if you don't know how. And
wait, did you mention the part about Luffy dealing with Duval Bison or something?
Oh no, I didn't. Yeah, he basically just intimidates it.
Yeah. The funny thing was the way Luffy did it was pretty small, but he did it in a way that mirrored the way Shanks did it to that sea monster in the very, very first chapter.
With a little more comedy, because they're going on about people call them the heart-ripping horns. It's like, it's thanks to the horns of this bull that I was able to escape from the Navy alive, and the bull, its face is too big, the horns don't matter. And then he just terrifies him, knocks him out with this, just by glaring at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yep, and so they're eating and having a good time, and they go to the Shabadi Archipelago. Which is, yeah, turns out this place with this interesting floor. They have, you know, they have all these bubbles that are everywhere, and they can ride the bubbles, and it's cool. And you've got, and of course, but we find out that not all is well. Turns out that, you know, they, Hachi says, they can't defy the world nobles. Even if they kill someone right in front of you, pretend you didn't see a thing. And so you're just like, oh.
World knows, also known as the Tenryu Yubito.
Yep. And then, of course, Zoro walks off and he's like, oh, don't be stupid. I know where to find this place. This is, you know, the tree is Grove number 1, but it's actually 41 because of Bubble.
Evil Bubble. Evil Bubble had it all planned out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're going to have to be smart this time. Oh, you know, I'm gonna control you.
Yeah. And of course, Sanji ends up staying behind because Nami was all, oh no, the ship is full of treasure. Whatever shall we do? I wish we had a handsome knight to protect it. And Sanji's like, that's me! Usopp is like, you did exactly what she wanted. And yeah, and Sanji's like, I'm a slave to love. He's like, well, if you admit it, there's no helping you.
No helping you.
Yeah, it is pretty hilarious. And it's also one of those scenes that make you laugh at shippers. Because they're just like, oh yeah, Nami obviously is in love with Sanji and vice versa. And you're like, you do realize she's just using him. Like, mm-hmm. Really? Okay, mm-hmm. If that's what you think makes a good romantic relationship, then you're messed up.
Seriously. Yep, man will be broke like crap already.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what he likes. Yeah, but anyway, so they end up looking through the Shabadi Archipelago, and they get these, scooters that they use, that they can drive in, that are on bubbles. And Luffy is like, oh, I want one! And it's like, oh, they won't work outside of the archipelago, and they try to do a big, Robin tries to explain it, and, they explain it, Robin gets it, how the bubbles would start popping. If they, go too high, because it only can exist in the environment.
Or they try and leave it.
Uh-huh. And then, yeah. And then Luffy's like, if you say so, I'll buy one anyway. And then Nami's like, Nami, the only one that understands how to explain things to him, is like, he means if you leave the island, the bubble will break. And Luffy's like, oh, it'll break. Now I get it. And
mysteriously. Yep. Mysteriously. Oh, it'll break. Okay.
Yep. And yeah, and then let's see, they're basically everyone having fun, but then we see something disturbing where this pirate is trying to escape and he's like, I just want to go home, but then this collar that he's wearing blows up. And it turns out he was a slave for the Celestial Dragons. And he's just like, I just want to go home, and nope, he dead. And then we meet some of the celestial dragons, and they're wearing these weird outfits with these bubbles that cover their heads, and yeah,
it's because they have these so-called bubble helmets, where because they don't want to breathe in the same air as the commoner.
It's pretty.
I don't want to breathe in my air, you douchebags.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, but they move along and they go to the. The Shaki's ripoff bar, and they meet Shaki, who, and she knows someone, she knows someone that can help them coat their ship so they can go to Fishman Island. Finally, we're gonna go to Fishman Island,
yay!
And then turns out that she used to know, she used to know Garp because he used to chase her because she was a pirate. And that was like 40 years ago. I've washed my hands of it now. It's like 40, 40 years. How old are you? It's like, okay, let's see. If she was, it's like that was 40 years ago. And if she was like maybe 10 at the time. Then maybe I could, or in her 20s, she'd be like 50 or 60 at the absolute very minimum. And so you're just like, man, whatever. I guess the Shabadi Archipelago climate is good on the skin, huh?
Yeah, so.
I can just imagine Korea is like, it's so freaking unfair. Yep, and then, so we move along, and then we discover that there's these, there's someone on the island that has a higher bounty than Luffy, and we discover the other supernova, which we meet Capone, Gang Beige, Glutton Jewelry Bonnie, Magician Basil Hawkins, Eustace Captain Kidd, Roar of the Sea Scratchman Apu. We also see Red Flag X Drake, Mad Monk Yarouge, and Murder Machine Killer, and then the Surgeon of Death Trafalgar Law. Oh, he can't possibly be important at any point.
I actually like how all their appearances. Mm-hmm. We see how they look, and then we get a panel of them in gray with their little dad, and then the way that we just last saw them in the previous panel with the name. And it's like, hey, it sounded like almost anime, and then I'm probably sure the anime did that too in some way, but more
I think so,
more
yeah.
Very elaborate way. You go, dun, and then their name, like dun, and then their name.
Yeah, and they're wondering if they're, if the coding guy is going to be okay. And he's like, he's one of us. He'll be fine. He's about 100 times stronger than you boys. So you're like, jeez, what's this? And let's see. Yep, and so we move on. And then, find out that there's some, there's this, these kidnappers. And one of them is Peterman, and he looks absolutely terrifying. But he's trying to go after the mermaid, and they all go to the, to the theme park and have fun, but then you have a scene where another one of the celestial dragons is, walking along trying to figure out where his father and his, I guess it's his sister or Sharia or I don't know.
Yeah, where his father and sister are.
Yeah. So he's walking along, he has this slave, riding a slave, and things get really messed up because these doctors are carrying this wounded man across in front of his path, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And then he shoots him, and he decides, okay, I'm taking this nurse as my wife, and her fiancé shows up and is like, hey, she's engaged to me. He gets shot. And then you're just like, oh, geez, this is leading to not good things. Oda, what are you doing? And also worth pointing out is he's got these two women following him in these slave outfits, and they look quite brokenhearted or just broken-spirited. So, again, this is disturbing. Very, very disturbing. And it's a scene like this. It was, like, such a perfect introduction, the two scenes for the Celestial Dragons, because instantly you're like, I want to see these people dead, please. Kill them.
I want to see them suffer and suffer and suffer and then die and then suffer and suffer and suffer and then die. And like, Mo, they can only die once. I want them to die as many times I want them to die.
It's messed up. And then and then Zoro's just walking along, and everyone's like, wait, why are you walking in front of him? So dude tries to shoot, Sinestro Dragon tries to shoot him, Zoro dodges and is about to cut him, and then Jewelry Bunny comes in, and she's a little kid, and saves him, and she's like, ah, brother, why did you die? And is like, you crossed the Sinestro Dragon, of course you'll get killed. And the guy's like, wait, did I hit him? Well, I guess he must have dodged it. Oh, well. And then it turns out that she actually saved him, because, you know, the pirates have all agreed, no, don't mess with the Celestial Dragons.
Yep. And so, pirate.
Yep. And then we find out that Kami's been kidnapped, so they have to find her. And, let's see, moving on. Let's see. And also worth pointing out is that for Chapter 500, which is in this volume, the cover story is Khalifa helping to earn money to pay for the medical expenses for Lucci, and she's using her powers to clean the town. And of course, it's a page of her soaking wet and just kind of standing there with outstretched arms. And I'm like, oh, Hoda, don't let the fan service overpower you. But yeah,
he won't.
So they end up searching for They end up searching for Kami, and they finally find that she's at the big auction house, and so they need to go save her. And you've got all these other pirates that are waiting there, and yeah, you get to see one of the first middle fingers in this manga, where Law gives Eustace Kid the middle finger, and it's yeah. And then we also among the slaves, we see Silver's Rayleigh, the Pirate King's right arm, former Roger Pirate's first mate. And you're just like, oh, he's the guy that's the ship coder, oh my. And then, yep, and so, yeah, apparently the Navy realizes that Silver, you know, that Rayleigh is down there. And so they're like, you know, we think it's him, but should we report it? And Garp says, you know, don't. You know, it's him, but don't report it. And it's like, you know, he's probably sold himself to cover his gambling debts. It's like, he may be old, but we aren't careful about how we approach this. The military could lose a lot of men. Now is an especially bad time. Do you want the Navy to take on two legends at the same time? And so...
Oh, yeah,
yep. And so you end up with... Yeah. The auction where they're going to... Yep, they're selling people. And it's pretty messed up. And so we go and Luffy and group manage to find the place. And so and they're like, no, we can't fight. You know, we can't fight them. Yeah, you know, because Kami's wearing a collar. So if the... you know, she's... You know, we can't fight. Otherwise, they'll kill her. So they go in and they're going to use the money that they have to buy her. And let's see.
Yep, Nami was willing to have to use all the money that they got.
Yep, and we also discover that through this news that Fire Fist Ace is to be publicly executed, and that's what Garp meant when they said, you know, they're going to take on two legends because they're going to have to deal with Whitebeard. So they're like, let's not deal with Rayleigh.
Yeah, we don't need to deal with that guy. Let him do what he wants.
Mm-hmm. And so we go back to the... And we've got... What's his face? I don't care about his name. Oh, Saint... Was it Saint Charles? The Celestial Dragon that comes in. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then he...
Yes, it's Charles.
Yeah, he shows up. And it's like they're trying to... There's this one scene where they're, you know... Yep. They're going to sell this pirate captain, but it turns out that, yeah, the dude is dead. He bit his own tongue, because he's like, I'm not going to be a slave. So, dude, yeah, it's pretty messed up.
That's the better way.
Yep, and they're about to sell the mermaid. So Nami is like, okay, we have 200 million berries. We can get her back. And of course, the Saint Charles is like, they're selling a mermaid. He's like, I bid 500 million berries. And instantly Nami is like, oh crap.
Why do you bid that much?
I'm not sure, because when you think about it, sure, mermaids are exotic and all, but considering what the Celestial Dragons use women for, I don't know why you'd want a mermaid.
Good point.
Yes, the Celestial Dragons are disgusting. Yeah, but although I do, yeah, and I do not. Well, his dad is like, "You're wasting money again. Your aquarium has piranhas in it." And he's like, "They can play tag. Aren't mermaids the world's fastest swimmers?" Like, oh, geez. Okay, that's slightly more messed up than the route my mind was going. And yeah, so they're just like, you know what? There's no, how are they gonna get her out? There's no way they can do it. But then Luffy crashes in, and he goes to rescue her, and Hachi ends up revealing himself as a fisherman trying to stop Luffy, and then Hachi gets shot by Charlus, and Luffy is absolutely furious, and he.
David.
Yes, indeed. He hasn't heard about the whole don't punch the celestial dragons, but, you know, that is, you know, yeah, not like he'd care because even though, well, actually, he does know not to cross them, and Hachi is like, you know, don't get angry, it's my fault. It's like, I was a pirate once, this is what I get. And then Luffy, of course, completely ignores him. And we end the volume on the most glorious of pages as Luffy punches Charlos right the fuck out.
That!
Ow!
Sorry.
It.
I actually yelled away from the mic. I don't know how you
That
heard me.
still hurt! That really hurt! But not as much as Charlus's face is gonna hurt. No, but yes, seriously, that is the perfect place to end that volume. It's like we've spent almost the entire volume hating these bastards, and then it ends with them getting the crap beaten out of him, and it is glorious. Greatest volume of One Piece ever created, hands down, no question. Shut up, anyone else that
Yep.
disagrees. That was fantastic. Oh my gosh. It's like, I mean, granted, the problem with it is that with these characters is that they are still around. The Celestial Dragons continue to be a problem in the series, and the messed up crap that they do continues to happen, so having just this one punch just isn't enough. We need to see more of them getting the snot beaten out of them. So.
Considering the current part of the series,
Yeah.
in a way, it'll be actually satisfying, but still not satisfying seeing all of them.
Indeed. Yep. Well, that was that. That was a fantastic thingy. Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic manga. All
Yes, it
right.
was.
And all right then. Whew. Good stuff. I don't know what we're doing for next week yet. I think we're going to do Fairy Tail Volume 43 because the it's weird. It's like on my thing it said that it was going to be released on the 28th. Yeah, it says 28th, but it looks like 43 is actually already out.
Oh,
So,
okay.
I'm going to order that. And then after that we have let's see, it's not, that will be what, I think, yeah, Fairy Tail 43 is what we'll go over this coming week. And then this coming week, we get a new Ranma One Half and a new Nisekoi, so I think, so the week after that, I think we'll do that. I don't know whether we'll do more One Piece. If we do more One Piece, let me double check and see, we had, what's my list say? I still need to buy Volume 54, so we could do Volumes 52 and 53 for One Piece.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we'll do that. We'll do Fairy Tail 43 and then One Piece volumes 52 and 53. Yeah, that would work perfectly. We'll do
Ah,
that.
53. I remember 53 now.
Indeed. And then yeah, so one Fairy Tail 2, One Piece. We may consider doing Witchcraft Works. I'm debating whether I want to buy that because I remember thinking it's absolutely hilarious at the beginning when I started reading it, but I got bored after a while, and I got bored of the anime as well, so I don't know whether I
I
want to
don't
see
even
the
know what
anime.
happened in that series anymore. I think I read the first chapter. I was like, okay, it's nice.
I might pick it up. I'm gonna run to Barnes and Noble later today to see if I can get Fairy Tail 43 or if that's just an Amazon release.
Okay.
And then if Witchcraft Works is there, I'll pick that up. But yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the manga chapters for the week, starting with One Piece chapter, what was it again? 764. Oh yes, this one. Also, we start off with Color Spread, which is all of them and bears.
Orange bears.
Yeah, fishing for salmon. And also one thing that, of course, many people were very quick to point out was how Nami has her hand on Luffy's upper thigh, which, ooh la la, it is true, despite everything that Oda has said about those two. It is true, they are in love, blah, blah, blah. It's a fun color spread besides that.
Yeah, it is.
It is indeed. Yes, it's fish and them fishing, and it's been a while since we've had a good color spread, so I'm enjoying this.
It's kind of funny how Chopper is in his monster form, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and splashing all the fish out. And I'm not sure how Zoro intends to catch fish with his swords, but okay.
You know, skewer them.
Yeah, but they'd cut through. Anyway, Yeah, that's right.
You're right.
Indeed. All right. Let's move on to the chapter itself, where we discover that, oh, wait, Corazon can talk?
What's yes, he this? Can.
And then he's like, oh, no. He's like, wait, I haven't been fooling Doflamingo. I just, you know, I never made it clear to anyone that I could talk. They just interpreted that way on their own. But it turns out that he has the... He has the, what was it called?
Silent fruit.
Yep, he's a silent man with a calm fruit.
Yeah, calm fruit, sorry.
And so, yeah, he can control, he can basically control sound. He makes a soundproof place, area for them to talk about. And he's like, wait, you've got devil fruit powers? Jeez, you're just full of lies. Wait, don't tell me. Oh, those accidents you always happen. You bet, kid. All an act. He's like, liar! Your shoulder's burning!
So the clumsy part is actually real.
Yes, that made it. That was worth it. I mean, I thought the whole clumsy part was a bit tired and just weird. But seeing Corazon actually set himself on fire like that was pretty fantastic. And yeah, so all for that joke. Yep. And so then Corazon reveals that Doflamingo is just messed up. He's freaking evil, and he's been trying to control and stop his brother. And we see back to when they were crucified, and as his dad is yelling about, he's like, no, shoot me, don't harm my boys. And then Doflamingo is yelling about how he's going to hunt down and kill every last one of them. Which, yeah. And then so we get revealed that the secret name of D, the people of D, who are said to be the enemies of the gods, the enemies of the celestial dragons. And so we get that revealed, but it's not much, you know, it's not much more than we already knew. We knew that they were, you know, that they kind of, you know, the D's are against the celestial dragons. They had something to do with the old kingdom. And so, yeah. And, yeah, Law is just like, you know what? I don't care what you're talking about. I'm working for Doflamingo. I'm going to tell him about your powers and your fake silence. And turns out that he manages to, yeah, to flip Korra into the trash and run away. And then Korra's like, I really shouldn't have told him anything. But then, yeah, turns out that Law didn't actually tell anyone. And he's like, oh, you know, I thought, you know, I still owe you for staying quiet when I stabbed you 2 years ago. So now we're even. So they have to escape from Tsuru, from the HQ. And then, okay, let's see.
You missed a little bit about when Law ran to Baby Five and Buffalo. A little tiny bit.
Oh, really? Where was it? Oh, yeah, that's true. And so, that part. That was really fun. Yeah, it's like, oh, did you break the law of blood again? It's like, I'll buy you ice cream if you shut up about it. It's like, I want the 500 berry deluxe size. Lend me 500 berries, Baby Five. It's like, huh? Oh. Okay. Then you just thought, the beginning of that gag, he needs me. Now you just, yeah, and that's where that was first introduced, so it is kind of, I can just imagine people getting all shipperific over this, because he was the first one that happened with, so.
I can't help it.
Yeah, I wonder if Oda will do anything with that, but.
Although, what about the whole thing with Monet? People were like, oh, wait, I thought,
Oh, who knows, it's, yeah. We'll see. But anyway, it turns
out that don't make me harm. Yeah.
So it turns out that Korra has taken Law, and he's going to go cure his disease, and Law's all like, hey, you're kidnapping me. And then so, yeah, he's like, we're going to go to all the hospitals. And then, yeah, so he ends up, gets on the phone with someone that says crackers, and then Korra says cookies, and it's like, ah, Rocinante. And he explains, Rocinante explains to the person on the other end that he needs to leave his duty for a while, and we also discover that, you know, that the harassment that Cora pretending to hate children, it was all there because he was trying to chase children away from Doflamingo, and unfortunately it didn't work with Law and Baby Five and Buffalo. And so, yeah, turns out that he's talking to Admiral, Navy HQ Admiral Sengoku, and that Rocinante is actually a commander in the Navy. So that's the big reveal, and suddenly we're like, oh, okay, now I see why Doflamingo would kill his own brother. And, yeah, and but then we have the moment where we reveal that there's another officer that is, you know, that wants to be transferred to G5, and it turns out it's Virgo. And suddenly I'm like,
I get two panels of him, but it's clear enough to see how he votes.
Yeah, and it's, well, and he also says his name is Virgo, but we discover, oh, hey, I think I just figured out how Doflamingo's gonna find out that, Rocinante is a traitor.
Good point.
And, yeah, so he takes him to the hospitals, and we go through several of them, every single one of them being like, oh, no, we're going to be, we need disinfectant and gloves and gas masks. Oh no, it's like, you know, how dare you bring him here? And then,
God, gosh, these people are ugly as fuck.
Yeah, it is a little over the top with how Oda is all, if you're ugly on the inside, you're ugly on the outside. Which is kind of weird how, why on earth is Doflamingo not completely ugly then? But nonetheless, he's not consistent about that. But, you know, bit characters that are just meant to be these horrible human beings, which these doctors and nurses are, and Law is, of course, continually traumatized by it, and then Cora just punches them all up, and so eventually people are like, oh, hey, you know, watch out, there's this guy showing up, and he's beating up doctors. And then we have a scene with Cora where he finally realizes the hell that he's put Law through. And it's just like, he's forced him to relive the horror of everything that's happened to him over and over. And he's like, you know what, you stabbed me, but it didn't hurt at all. The pain was all yours, you poor boy, oh Law. And then you've got Law who just hears that and he's just realizing, like, oh, dude's sincere. And also, the crying face is kind of hilarious. And then you've got the scenes where just before Law starts crying, you hear a slip, bonk, yow! I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that gag is, the clumsy gag is so stupid, but then, yeah. And, it's just perfect. And then, yeah, and then you've got the snails ringing, and he wakes Cora up. It's like, Cora, wake up! And Cora's like, gives him this look. He's like, you called me Cora. He's like, just pick up the stupid call. And then you've got Doflamingo. He's like, Cora's own. It's me. Dun dun. And so, yeah. This is one heck of a chapter because there's certain things that need to be discussed. Mm-hmm. For one, my theory had been that Cora ate the devil fruit, the op-op fruit, and then used the ability to give immortality to heal Law. Now, obviously, that possibly didn't happen because he already has a fruit you can't eat too. So, the chances are, okay, what happens next? I mean, it would make sense if Law gets the fruit and then uses it to heal himself. What I'm thinking may happen is that Doflamingo is calling saying, hey, I found a fruit that can help heal Law. And he says, Cora, you should take it and heal him, and then, but Cora's like, I can't, I already have a fruit, but he can't reveal this, because then it turns out he's been lying, and so what might happen is that Cora eats the fruit, is somehow able to use the powers to heal Law, and then he dies because he ate two,
or something. Oh, we'll get to see the effects happening with some of these two fruits.
That would be pretty fantastic. We've been needing to see that. I'm hoping that's what happens, but we'll see. Either way, Law ends up with the fruit, and he most likely uses it to heal himself because, you know, he can remove poison and whatnot. So this was a pretty fantastic chapter. So, all right. Shall we move on? Unless you had something else to point out.
Yeah, let's just move on. I just heard stuff.
All right, you wanna go over World Trigger Chapter 79? I'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, World Trigger Chapter 79, Invasion Part 23. So, Yuma defeats Visa. Okay, where is that ad coming from? What? What? Sorry, guys. I don't know. Is this something just quite plain? That's not for me. I don't know why it is. Anyways, okay. So back to World Trigger, Chapter 79, Part 23. Yuma defeats Visa. Visa's out of commission, surprisingly. Well, not surprisingly, but that's still kind of amazing. And, let's see. You know, I only read this chapter once, so I can't really remember exactly what happened. Okay, Yuma defeats Visa. Pretty much you go back to Osamu, trying to get into border headquarters, trying to evade Mira and Hiren. Now, well, Hiren also fighting Miwa. And Osamu managed to use Hiren's Treant to his advantage, since his trigger can only harm Treant, not humans. Osamu's in his human form, apparently. So, and then Miwa manages to outsmart both Hiren and Mira. And actually does some damage to Mira as well, which is actually good because, you know, she's kind of been of a nuisance with the whole teleporting here and there. And because of it, she's been losing her Treant over time. She can't use as much Treant as she used to because she kept using all those big gates. And so pretty much, yeah, so then, let's see. Yuma and Miwa kind of, I guess, meet a butt head or something, and then they're gonna pretty much take out, Hiren at the same time now. While Samu just is about to get there. Oh, and also, we get to find what happened to, Jin's Black Trigger? Miwa has it now, apparently, because, Fujin. He says Fujin activate, so he has it. No, wait, that's not him, that's someone else. Oops, I'm sorry, it's someone else. See, that's the problem with this series. Some of the characters tend to be the same. If it wasn't for the clothes, that is. So, some other guy has Fujin. I don't remember who he is again. Yeah, so, wait. Hmm. Oh, no, this is Miwa. Whoops, this is Miwa.
Yes.
Because it says trigger off, so... Yeah, so he has Fujin. He's using Fujin now.
Looks like yeah. Not sure why I didn't use it before.
Well, you know, trump card. Save your trump card for last. But yeah, I had a little trouble going through this.
Yeah, I did like the... Just to go back a little bit. I like the scene where he used the Bordo against Mira and and her commander. So Mira's out of commission.
Finally.
Yeah, and now we have 7 seconds until the future crossroads. Oh no!
And yet we have a week to wait until then.
Yes, a week. Wink,
a week.
Yeah. Mm. Indeed. Alright, yeah. This was a pretty great chapter. I enjoyed the way it, you know, just, I enjoyed the movement of it.
Yeah.
And how... everything was going, so it was fun. All right, let's talk about Nisekoi. Mm-hmm. Nisekoi, chapter 143, Let's Work. And so we begin with Kosaki asking, are you free this weekend? And she's like, "Oh, are you available to work?" And he's like, "Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's all right. We get to work together again." Yeah, even though it's not a date. She's like, "Oh, the job is at a hot springs resort." I just love his face. He's just this blank face. He's like, "What?" And so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a hot springs resort owned by a relative. So her mom, told her aunt that Raku would be useful to have around. So he's like, "I didn't have a choice, huh?" And so, yep, they work together and they have embarrassing moments where they get knocked down by a stack of bed sheets and he's knocked on top of her and they're all embarrassed and whatnot, and it's hilarious, and Onodera just freaks out and runs away. And yeah, and so the entire time he keeps trying to apologize to her and she just runs away because she's embarrassed, because she's like, "Oh, we were so close, I enjoyed that." And I love the expression, like, when he's, like, coming around the corner and trying to apologize, and she just runs away. And it's just such a...
You're like a monster.
It's just so... You don't see that kind of exaggerated art style in other manga. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So they find out that the cook has hurt himself, and so Onodera's like, "Oh, Ichijo can... he can cook, and so, well, he can help." And then it turns out, but he can't do garnishes, so Onodera is the one that does the decorative cuts. And so they work together. And it's a really adorable scene. And then, yeah, they're done. They're all tired because it was a good day. They were able to work together. Like, "Oh, we're compatible, etc. and whatnot." And they're like, "Oh, we'd better head out, otherwise we're going to miss the bus." And then the owner is like, "Oh, don't be, didn't Nanako tell you as a reward for your work today, I'm giving you two a room together for the night?" He's like, "Oh, Kasaki, aren't you full of surprises? When Nanako told me you had a boyfriend, I was just thrilled. Now I want the two of you to relax and enjoy yourselves." He's like, "Mom, what are you thinking?" And of course you've got, her mom in the sky with one of those grins with the tongue sticking out. Like, oh dear. That's, yeah. I don't know what it is.
With the tongue to stick out, but okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just so weird. It's like some of the adult characters in this manga are fantastic. It's just hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And, alright, let's move on to chapter 696 of Naruto.
You don't feel as excited.
Well, we start off with more talking where they're like, ninjas that fight their spirits, they can read each other's thoughts for no more than a trade of blows, and I was like, bullshit. Anyway, they have a big talk about blah, 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 this is an enemy in common, blah, 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 that's how they work together, that's what I'll do, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'll make everyone hate me, I will be the enemy in the shadows. And then the fight continues, and they continue to talk, and I'm like, oh, jeez.
And they go to Pacific Rim.
Mm-hmm, yeah, Sasuke uses the power of Susanoo as the receiving vessel for the power of all the Biju. And he goes all giant, and then Naruto goes all, they fight, Naruto goes all sage mode in his Ninetales form, and uses a bunch of arms and different type of Rasen shuriken thingies. And then they throw them at each other, and I guess it was all right. I mean, it was a fight, but at the same time, again, this isn't what I was... I don't know, it's just this isn't quite what I was hoping for the final battle. But at the same time, I'm a little more understanding. Because, I don't know, it's big, it's epic and whatnot. It would have been so much better if this manga had have ended earlier, before a bunch of other crap that happened, and... I don't know. I just feel that there is no way I'm going to be satisfied by the ending of this piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I want to know how it ends, but at the same time, I just know that by the time it ends, I'm going to feel empty, because it's like this manga betrayed every promise that it made in the very beginning, and it's just, ugh. We're going to have to go over this and discuss exactly what the hell happened, why it went wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, did you have anything to add to this?
Well, it was all right. I mean, the whole talking in the beginning, saying, oh, this is our enemy. You know, if they didn't have this enemy, they fight each other. If they have a common enemy, they fight anyway. Yeah, I know, that's true, but still, it's just, what you're doing is kind of... Actually... Oh man, I guess I have to say I might have to be more of the what's the word? The more of the sane in a way that might actually defend this guy. Yeah, in a way Sasuke's way of doing things actually would make sense. It would actually cause eternal peace, knowing because when they have one common enemy and like he said, it will work, but at the same time he's become so unbearably irritating. I don't even want him to be the uncommon enemy.
It really is. I mean, this series is a perfect example of what happens when you have an absolutely shitty character. I mean, I know there are people that like him. I know there are, because there are people that actually ship him with other characters. But at the same time, I just like, people, please, what am I missing? Why do you like Sasuke? Is there something about him that I just don't get? Is that it? Or is what I'm saying absolutely 100% true and he is the absolute most awful character in existence and you're just crazy? I don't know what it is. It's just like it doesn't make any sense.
Let's just say discussing about whether Sasuke is a good character or not and what he does is good or not. It's kind of discussing politics. I would like to discuss it, but I'm afraid of risking a friendship or friendships for that matter. So at the same time, I don't want to discuss it.
Or listeners.
Because I do want to understand why Kishimoto writes Sasuke the way he does, why he wants to write this kind of character, why he is so fixated on this character. Because, yeah, some people say, yeah, he likes Sasuke because he's like in love with him or something. But I'm like, there's something to Sasuke that Kishimoto wants to write him so much in such a way that it pisses the majority of the readers off.
It's
But the ones that like him are the ones I kind of hate, because the majority of them are like, oh, he's so cool and awesome. Like, you don't understand why Kishimoto actually writes him, do you?
I don't even know if Kishimoto understands why he writes him is the thing. And the thing about Sasuke is that his type of character can work.
Yes.
But it's just that he's not interesting, for one, just the way he's written.
Irritating is what he is.
And it's also, it's just like, the only character trait that he has is, my family is dead, you know? It's like, that's all there is to them. If there was,
That will slap you so hard. It's like, he won't kill you, he'll slap you and you'll wish you were dead.
Yeah. It's like, there needs to be more to a character than that one character trait. And that's all he has, is one character trait. I mean, I could enjoy a character that is, you know, it's like, oh, my family is dead, but then there's more to them. There is no more to Sasuke. He's just that one single character trait. Every time, everything he does is some variation of that one character trait, and he's a whiny little bitch. And then I just don't understand how people can keep liking him, because he's constantly doing the most awful things ever. And I'm just like, how is he still considered a hero or whatnot? He is an absolute villain, and nothing that can be done in like three chapters will redeem this sack of bitch.
Let's not forget, he did try to kill Sakura the first time.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
It's like, jeez, it's just... It's just absolutely terrifying, the fact that people are like, oh, Sasuke is good, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no, this is an absolutely awful sociopathic piece of shit that needs to be put down. And that's not what's going to happen, and that fact pisses me the fuck off. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about One Punch Man, Chapter 37, Part 6, King.
Cheer us up!
What?
No, One Punch Man.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so, yeah, it's, we continue to get the fight, and we get Genos, ends up, causing a giant mist explosion or whatnot, on the little robot dude. And then, yeah, and so it's like, oh, you can't use your laser because moisture disperses light. And it's like, it's like, you want king, but I know someone stronger, and I am stronger than you. And then they end the chapter with them about to punch each other, and it's really epic looking.
Yep.
Quite enjoyable. All right. But not much to say, I think.
Yeah. It was, you know, it's One Punch Man. It's, you know, it's one of those little chapter 37 part, what, 2 or 3 or something?
Yeah, it's one of the parts that's not very funny, so.
Yeah, anyway. I know. Like I said, just wait a while.
All right, let's move on to Toriko, chapter 297, Never-Ending Siege. And, well, they're in trouble because the monkeys are coming after them now.
Oh, boy, and I thought the zombies were worse.
And there's monkeys everywhere, and, you know, Zebra fights one and kills it, but it turns out that it can regenerate. And so, yeah, everyone's fighting, and it turns out they all use kind of different styles of martial arts, and we discover... the narrator tells us that there's different levels of martial artists for the monkeys. You've got...
Oh my god, I wonder if there's actually a monkey that does Aikido, because Aikido can't harm or harm the... or can't even harm... can't harm the user and can't harm the UZ, the one who gets you know, harmed. So it's like, it just... Yeah. It's a very peaceful throw.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. They've got, like, the novices and the different levels, and then you've got the masters, of which there are only 4 masters, it said? Yeah. And then the 4 masters are the only ones that receive permission to hunt whenever they want. Free predation and copulation at the Monkey King's discretion. And then there's the Monkey King above them. One of the ones that they have is absolutely hilarious. It's an Yai-Ai, which basically is a play on words in that you've got the Ai-Ai, which is a type of monkey type thing. And this one is the Yai-Ai. Yai standing for Iaido, being the martial art of the quick draw. And his tail ends in a blade. And I'm like, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, whoever made that, awesome.
You're a smart person. And then, yeah, they're surrounded by novices, and you're just like, oh, this is going to be bad, because these novices are giving them trouble, and they're the lowest of the low. So we're looking at them having to beat some seriously dangerous monkeys. And then we discover, and then they see they actually see the Monkey King, or at least we believe it's the Monkey King. And they end up, yeah, the Earth ends up collapsing and dropping them down somewhere underground in the ancient civilization. And then we discover a Nitro shows up, says that this is the place where civilization once flourished on this continent. And so it was like, this was a great chapter.
These days, a boy game slaughtered by the monkeys for now.
Indeed. And we also get, yeah, it's just like, you know, you got the monkeys, they're all kind of really clever and interesting. And they're not even the most powerful, and they're already giving them trouble, and so.
Holy man, Terry and Quinn are huge, and Terry and Kias are huge.
Yeah, they're all huge, yes. But yeah, so you...
But so is Quinn, sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic seeing just, yeah, everything that I... This was a great chapter. What else can I say?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to Bleach, chapter 601, Verge of Vermilion.
Thank goodness you put on the very front page, Kubo.
Yes, thank you.
Please do that from now on.
Yep, so yeah, we've got Oetsu, who is... Yeah. Who is fighting, and he takes out Thor pretty easily. And then he takes out the sniper really easily. Just cuts him up, and then he takes out that person in the hood, and then he cuts down the other guy who looks like he belongs in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And then it turns out that, you know, the sword that he's...
The last guy.
Yeah, the sword that he has is just like... You know, it's too sharp. You know, it's the blade, it cuts too well. The blade is too smooth. No matter how many times he cuts with it, the blade never chips and not a single drop of blood sticks to it. It puts us blade sharpeners out of works. But he can't create a sheath with it. And he couldn't send it down to the Seriate because it's not a complete sword. And so he can finally use it for the first time in forever. And so, but then it turns out that the one dude that looks like he belongs in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is, yeah, he's still alive. He, you know, the wounds weren't fatal enough, so he's, yeah, still up and kicking. And this was a great chapter as well.
Insert some random JoJo's Bizarre Adventure quote in here. Seriously.
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I did have a lot of fun with this chapter. It was just, you know, it was just a lot of, it just, yeah. It's just see Oetsu being kicking butt, and then it turns out the one dude that we thought went down but has gotten more focus than the other ones that got cut down is actually, you know, still standing, so we're going to get a cool fight out of this.
At least he killed three of them.
Indeed. And let's see. Yep. Let's move on to Aid Live, I think. E-I-D Live, A-I-D Live, or whatever. Chapter 3.
I know.
And we, yeah. It turns out that blah, blah, blah. Stuff happens. Yeah, we've got Chuta is, you know, he's being more, you know, he's more more confident, and the Doru is helping him with sports and stuff, so he's like, oh, be more confident. Then it turns out he tries to chase down a thief, but he's using the uses this attack, which ends up breaking this glass, which seriously injures his aunt. And he's, yeah, he's kind of, now he's back in the dumps. Poor guy. He ain't happy, and so, yeah, he goes and makes food for his aunt, and he's all, oh, I wish I had gotten hurt, and she's like, no, don't say that. And so, and then after that, I kind of stopped reading. I was not really interested.
Your depression cooking out. That's definitely the reason why.
It's a fight, but I, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, this series kind of bores me, really, you know?
It's got good character design, I'll admit that much. I mean, Amano is trying to do something different.
It is fantastic art. I really, especially like the fact that she does it all color, and it looks great. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just, I don't care. There's something missing, and I'm not sure I know what it is that's missing.
It's the characters.
Fair
enough.
For
me, the characters,
yeah.
I just can't.
I can buy that. It's.
I still take a one because okay, I'll give it a shot. But I'm really glad I could think of it more before it ended and went to shit.
Yes, yes.
But you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It very much. It's. I don't know. Yeah. It's not one that I would like to read much more of. Just because it is kind of just really dull.
Read much more of. To be honest, the last time I read this, there's only three chapters of it.
Really? Oh, okay.
So far. But they have a little survey at the end, which lets you vote for either Doodles, Hi-Fi Cluster, Sporting Salt, or Eldlabe.
Yeah.
Air Drive. Hmm. Oh my god! That's part of what she was trying to... Okay, kudos to that title. I guess. Arrow Drive or something.
I guess. Alright. Let's move on to Assassination Classroom, Chapter 105.
Yeah, we're going to skip Death Note Chapter 3. Just going to mention that.
Yeah, no worries. But yeah, so the kids react as like, oh, Kuro-sensei is back. And so, yep. So Irina and the assassin use, you know, do a little ploy with her pretending to be captive. And then it turns out that the cuffs that she's wearing actually have a gun in them, and yeah, they drop him into a pit, and before Kuro-sensei can't fly immediately, so he's gonna grab hold, but his tentacles get shot. And so it turns out that he doesn't move all that fast. He doesn't move all that fast to start. It's like he moves about 600 kilometers an hour for the first meter, and he can see that because he's able to assassinate someone from a train, and the target is in a passing train. And you're just like, geez, that's insane. So He's able to follow the tentacles just as they're starting to move and knock Koro Sensei all the way into the cage where all the others are. And, yeah, and of course, Karasuma follows along. He's like, hey, what's going on here? And then it turns out that there's, you know, he's going to kill them all by flooding the river, and that will, the force will push Koro Sensei against the anti-sensei cage, and he'll be cut up into little pieces of jelly. And then Karasuma's like, you know, is like, are they, you know, are, you know, are you really going to kill the students as well? And he's like, oh, I can't wait. And that, and of course he's angry at Irina. He's like, you know, knowing that you still, and she says, I took action prioritizing results just like you wanted, right? And he's like, ah, crap, this is my fault. But yeah, and of course Gosen is like, look, my special instrument. And he starts licking at the cage and is like, oh,
oh man,
I've been that coating was... this tongue with digestive fluids. I can melt a cage like this in just half a day. And it's like, that's too slow. He's just like, if you keep doing that, I'm going to set off everyone's collar. And he's like, what? One of the students like, well, that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so they're about to leave, but then Karasuma's like, oh, stops him. He's like, hey, is the Japanese government really going to stop my assassination? You know, I was going to add you to these group, but come on, show me your skills. And then you flash back to Karasuma asking, hey, if we can kill him in exchange for the lives of the students, what do I do? I'd like to confirm the government's policy on how I should act. And the government representative is like, you decide in a case by case. And so it's like, oh, you know, if it comes up to that sort of situation, you decide as the personnel on site. It's like, you freaking coward.
I'm not taking that fall for you. You take the fall for me.
Yeah, but then he's like, in other words, you want me to take the responsibility. Then at this moment, my decision is the opinion of the government. And he smacks a bitch. By which I mean the assassin, not Irina. And he's like, I'll convey the Japanese government's opinion to you. These 27 lives weigh heavier on the earth. If you still plan to kill them, I will stop you. And then, yeah. So, yeah, they're about to fight. And then that's it, and I can't wait for the next chapter, because this is fantastic. I really love this storyline. It's just so much fun. And just all the reveals, the drama, Karasuma being allowed to do something awesome. It's quite fantastic. Anyone that's not reading this series really should, because this is really great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they'll read once the anime comes out.
Most likely. All right. Let us move on to Shokugeki no Soma 91, page 2. Didn't this one get an anime announced as well?
No, not this one. Not yet.
Ah, dang it. I could have sworn it did.
I know, but I'm still waiting for it to get a couple more chapters ahead. Maybe after this arc, hopefully. Who knows?
I don't know. I swear that was an announcement. But anyway, yeah. So this one, we continue the... we get to see Hayama revealing his mastery of spices first.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, but Kurokiba is not intimidated. He's waiting for the perfect moment of flavor, the peak moment of flavor. And then he makes eel matelot, which is you boil eel in red wine or brandy. And then, so he's got insane amount of power, and they show it as like a card game. But then you see this awesome image of this eagle's talons about to grip him, and it turns out that Hayama has all of the spices that he's using give him an overwhelming advantage. And he's mixing the spices, you know, using his sense of smell, mixing them perfectly. And he dishes his first, and you have canard apicius. It says it's a dish that is loved by the 7th century Roman gourmet apicius. Its feature is that it's finished by caramelizing the duck's meat skin side. So they all taste it, and for the first time in a while, we get to see massive fan service. First, starting off with two of them wearing these sexy duck costumes, which is just...
Apparently, Hinako's been depicted as a duck before, too.
Really?
I think. Apparently, so I'm not sure.
Okay, interesting. And then... Yeah, and then they keep eating, and then we get even more fan service of the two other women being gripped in eagle talons, which, good grief, that looks so weird. I've actually gotten used to it not be having, you know, excessively fan servicey reactions to food all that often. So to see like two in a row in one chapter is kind of like, oh man, that's kind of weird.
But we don't see the lead judge.
Oh yeah, I'm kind of surprised by that, but yeah. So, but then we end the chapter with Kurokiba still has a trick up his sleeves, by which I mean his bandana. So, you also have a moment where all the spices that he uses are represented like Pokemon. That
was kind of hilarious.
And, alright. Yeah, it was a great chapter. I quite enjoyed it.
It's amazing. Okay, the little imagery battles were pretty much a mix of Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh!
It was, Clearly. Yeah, it was pretty fantastic. I love that. It was, yeah, and this, I just love the way the battles play out. It's just so much, you know, it's just so much fun. Even with the fan service is a bit over the top, but that's kind of the point of this series. So, yeah, I think, do you have anything else to add?
All I can say is that, yeah, this is a fantastic chapter.
Mm. Yes, it was quite.
I'm just imagining all these silly Yu-Gi-Oh! Quotes popping in each of these pages.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun. Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah. And so, yep. Yeah, let's move on to Fairy Tale chapter 405. It's basically a fight. You know, Natsu is getting his butt kicked. We find out that Acnologia can actually talk. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I'm going to take you down, Igneel. Yeah, and then you've got Rogue and Sting show up, and they're all, hey, we should help you. Natsu's like, that's a good idea. But no, can't do. This is an official request. I got to do it alone. And then, which one was it? Sting is all, hey, we'll have a contest and to see who takes him down first, you or us. And so they're all fighting him, but, you know, they're competing to fight him.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, that works just as well. Good on you, Sting. You're smart. And, yeah, they continue to pummel him, and then, yeah. So, let's see. We end the chapter with, it's just basically fighting. And then Mardgear's all, you have a reawakened long forgotten sensation, and Mardgear rage. It's like, oh, that's great, you finally caught up to us humans.
Mardgear fears rage now. Mardgear's angry.
Brooklyn rage. Yeah. It was an okay chapter. I mean,
yeah, it was
the greatest chapter in existence, but at the same time, you know, it was just focused a lot on fighting, and the fights were nice. Very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about the Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 99.
Yeah, I just want to point out, in the little preview, where previews one of the pages, I clearly saw that little picture of like a butt. I was like, okay, things just got weird now. You'll find out what it is, right? It's not.
Yeah,
my brain.
Indeed. Yep. Well, let's move on. Seven Deadly Sins, chapter 99, and you got Meliodas gets manages to get Hendrickson into a headlock, and then Diane lifts the rocks and just smashes them on them. It's like, I'm sorry. And and then they end up, yeah, let's see, then King uses the sunflower form and uses, like, a beam of energy. It's like he used solar beams.
What does Chastafall have?
As many as he needs.
Like, but form 103, form 691, they got so much.
Yeah. Yeah, so you kind of, yeah, you get the moment where Hendrickson is all, oh, why do you still continue to fight even after, you know, the kingdom turned against you? And then you've got Bond that shows up and he's got, and he, oh, what the heck?
What?
Yep, and then yeah, it's just like sorry, I'm just kind of reading this for the first time.
Oh.
Yeah, he ends up using his
Yeah, but
yeah, he ends up using his ability and causes a big slice on Meliodas and that. And Hendrickson is like, "What's the meaning of this?" And then Bon, yeah, it turns out that Meliodas has, yep, unlocked another ability. It's Revenge Counter, which, he became defenseless against magic, and charged all the power that he was taking. So basically, it's his ultimate move where he takes all the damage himself, and then he's gonna use this ultimate powerful attack. And I love where Galder is like, the chance of you surviving his revenge counter are 0.2%. And Hendrickson just freaks. Just has this great moment where he's just sort of standing there, he's like, and he just backs off, and then he just breaks for it. And gets. Yeah. And then. Yeah, he tries to escape, but. Oh, jeez, what's his face again?
Get it starts with G.
Yeah, it's not Gilgamesh.
Grimoire.
Grimoire, that's it. Yeah,
Gilgamesh.
he restrains him, and then and then Meliodas uses his like with all this charged power around him, he just does a simple cut, and then boom, just yeah, lays waste to Hendrickson, and then
That page, man.
yep, and then it. Yeah, he gets sliced in half and disintegrated, and we get the caption saying that the one attack to save the kingdom, the final decisive battle is resolved. So I'm just thinking, is that it? Is the series over? What's going on here? So we have to wonder, where will this, is this the end of the Seven Deadly Sins? I have a hard time imagining this. I would be interested, because normally with like these sort of like story-focused series, they kind of. What they do is they'll, yeah, what they do is they will, whatchamacallit, yeah, it's like, and usually there's like an ongoing threat that you kind of keep going on with, but in this one we might end up, with where the big threat is ended, and then we have a skip, and then we have an actual, like, more, something that's more like a sequel instead of the same story going on, Where we reveal, there's other stuff that needs to be dealt with. So I'm curious to see where it goes next, if it goes anywhere next. But,
Yeah.
all right, I
I
think.
have no idea where it's going to go next, but then, there's Arthur, there's still Merlin, and there's still the last deadly sin to be found.
Yeah, because I
You'd be
mean.
like, hey, wait a minute, guys, I just missed out on something awesome? You did.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think with this, I don't think it's ending. It'd be silly to end now because it's really popular, and I don't think it's being canceled because it's. Doing really well, and it's got an anime that's coming out now, so that'd be silly. Anyway, I think that's it. That's all the manga.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap things up. This has been the Manga Cubed episode. What did I say it was? 118-ish.
117.
That was last week.
That was? Oh,
That's
18.
118, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the week of October 20th, you fool.
Okay.
And yeah, so this week we went over One Piece volumes 49, 50, and 51. Next week will be 51, sorry, 52, 53, and then we will also talk about Fairy Tail volume 43, possibly Witchcraft Works if I can bother to buy it.
Ah,
And
yes.
this week, let's go ahead and let's do the author comments. One Piece is Eiichiro Oda. I saw Yoshida and Masa from the band Dreams Come True for the first time in a while. Their youthful energy revitalized me.
World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. Everyone at the studio is going to get Monster Hunter 4. It's my first Monster Hunter game. I'll put it on my desk.
I'll put it on my desk and stare at it every day. Nisekoi is Naoshikomi. The new Monster Hunter game is out. I'm going to hunt like crazy. All I talk about. Is video games indeed. I guess people like Monster Hunter in Japan, huh?
Yeah. So, as I was gonna say, okay, he says everyone at the studio is gonna get Monster Hunter 4. It's my first Monster Hunter game. So I'm like, oh, interesting, first Monster Hunter game. I'll put it on my desk and stare at it every day. Wait, you're not gonna play it?
Well, he probably needs to get his work done first.
Good point. Good point. Yeah, I know. I played when I first got it. When I first got into Freedom Unite, I played it day in, day out. Seriously, it is really that kind of game where you kill monsters and you carve, and people think it's just killing monsters while still shooting people
Good point.
in
Good
every freaking
point.
game.
That is a good point.
Except you kill monsters. What's wrong with killing monsters? Is it not, they're not killing people? Monsters try to kill people. You're the defending people, you're not looked at as a monster except to the monsters themselves, but they're monsters, so we kill them because we want to live. You get my point?
The hell are you
Monsters.
talking about?
I don't know, I was talking away from the screen. I was talking
All
to the
right.
wall. The wall understands me more than any of you. Anyways, your
Well,
turn.
Naruto. No, I already did Nisekoi.
Oh, so these two talk about monsters on there. Okay.
Yeah.
Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. 4 weeks left, only a little more to go, so I'm going to work my hardest until the end. You better not disappoint us, sir.
So close. He's gonna disappoint us, you know it.
He will.
Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shimabukuro. My editor changed again. That was fast. Thanks for everything, Kim. Nice to meet you, Naito.
Is that a
Curious.
good thing his editor changed again?
I don't know. Weird. Oh well.
Probably like, okay. First off, do not draw those balls anymore, or whatever you call them.
The balls. The balls. Anyway, last one.
And Bleach is Tite Kubo. I went to a preview screening of Kiss Gaman, the movie, too. It was awesome, and it was only rated PG-12. Wait, what? Yep, PG-12.
They have different ratings in different countries.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right then.
PG-1. Wait, what?
Yeah. All right, let's do the rankings, shall we? Let's see. One,
Yeah.
two, I must say three, four. All right. My number four is Bleach.
My number four is Bleach as well.
Yes, it's just good. It was fun. It was nice. Number three is Toriko. Mo. Oh dear. Well, all right. My number three is Toriko because it was just a lot of fun, and there was a lot of creativity in those monkeys. I just thought that was, I appreciate some good creativity, and that one had some excellent creativity, especially just the guy that thought up the EI
Oh, okay.
is
Yours is that your number three?
that's my number three. I just thought
Okay.
that was just so freaking clever. It's great. All right, what was your number three?
World Trigger.
Oh, okay. Really?
As I did try to summarize, I did like the chapter. I just you know it just for me. I guess it still takes a while for me to get used to it, but I did like how they managed to get through. You know, they got rid of they dealt with Visa, and they finally dealt with Mira finally, and then we get to see where that Fujin went, and we'll get to see a wrap up to this arc, because
Indeed.
as I'm quite sure people were saying, this arc's awesome, don't let it end. No, let it end, please. It needs to wrap up. But it was good, it was good.
Indeed. All right, my number two was Nisekoi.
Same.
Yeah, it was just fun. It was a cute little thing, and I mean, it's no secret that Onodera is our favorite of the girls. But
Here's the
even though she isn't as entertaining as Marika, I don't know. I enjoy the touching little moments. It's nice. It's good. Is good. Is nice. Yes. Okay. What's your number two?
I just sent Nisekoi.
Nisekoi? Okay.
Yeah, here's my Nisekoi chapter. When I first read it, I thought, oh, it's Onodera chapter. Okay, Onodera chapter. And it's like, oh, I need help at the store again. And I was like, oh, okay, another store thing. I was like, okay, I got used to Tsugumi, so why am I not used to this? But then she changes to, oh, it's Hot Spring to help him. Well, okay, it was pretty.
That
It
was
was
fun.
fun. I mean, yeah, I know. I mean, I understand Onodera too many people. It's probably the most boring character because she's not quirky like the others in a way, and she's just seen as, oh, but she's the one the main guy likes, so of course she'd be like this. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Well, yeah.
Every character, every female character the main guy likes ends up being like that in a way.
A little boring, yeah.
But she's still the better of them all. Seriously, she's the better of them all. And I hope that works out.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's see. And number one is, of course, One Piece.
Because that was an awesome chapter.
It
I
was.
cannot argue that it cannot be number one. There's so many reasons it has to be number one because Corazon, I mean, when we first saw Corazon, we're like, who's this guy? What is he like? And then we see him as, oh, he's clumsy. He hates kids. How is he even respect him or anything? And then we find out, oh my god. Yeah,
there's a reason for
that's
it.
That's the reason why.
That's the thing. That's the thing that I think Kishimoto never got compared to Oda, is that Kishimoto doesn't get how to make someone likable. Or how to make someone unlikable. It's like it feels like in his writing, he doesn't have control over whether, you know, a character is liked or not liked. He's just, I'm going to make this character, and then the character's just, it's just like a fancy free, the character will evolve on their own. Unfortunately, Sasuke is a shithead. Oda, on the other hand, knows how to control characters. He knows how to make you hate characters, and he knows how to make you love characters. It's just so much better. One Piece is fantastic. Anyone that says that Naruto is better than One Piece is a delusional moron.
Well, they're all right. Shonen study Oda, period.
Exactly.
Okay, and Akira Toriyama, too. I mean,
well, yeah,
and Assassin's Creed and all these others, but...
Well, yeah, just...
You study Naruto, study it, but don't emulate it.
Study it.
You don't want to emulate it.
Study Naruto to know how not to do it.
And some of the Bleach, too. I mean, there's points in Bleach you have to just not...
I will contest and say that Bleach has better moments. Bleach's good moments are better than Naruto's good moments. Let's just say it like that.
Yeah.
Like Bleach has had some pretty fantastic moments. And so, yep. Anyway, I think that wraps everything up. So yeah, any questions or comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com or look up Burning Lizard on Twitter. In the meanwhile, we hope you all have a great week. We'll see you next week, and remember, the manga is always better.